KSLRLP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPVLP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Gretchen Cochran with your WSLR News headlines for January 13th, 2026. Sarasota County's commissioners are expected to approve today a resolution authorizing a historical marker describing the history of the celery fields. Located east of I-75 and south of Fruitville Road, the area is on the Great Florida Birding Trail and home to the area's Audubon Society. Its more than 300 acres is also Sarasota County's primary stormwater collection zone, allowing it to serve a dual purpose of public safety and recreation. At that same meeting, the Sarasota County Commissioners are also expected to approve a $36,000 purchase of two horses with maintenance and their gear to assist Department of Justice law enforcement operations and investigations. They would also be used in training and education, as well as drug, gang, and other awareness programs. Rhapsody in Bloom, Sarasota's first public art installation in the Arlington Park neighborhood, was unveiled yesterday with a ceremony at Arlington Park Aquatic Complex. City dignitaries joined community members in celebrating the wall of artwork brought to life through a community paint day where residents of all ages contributed under the direction of local artist Alyssa Silvers. Florida has been named the 11th worst state to raise a family in 2026, according to a new WalletHub report. The personal finance company analyzed 50 metrics and ranked the states by family fun, health and safety, education and child care, affordability, and socioeconomics. Florida was 49th when ranked by percentage of families with young children, 46th in highest separation and divorce rate, 46th in housing affordability, and 42nd in child care costs, according to the study. This has been Gretchen Cochran with your WSLR News headlines for January 13th, 2026.
Good morning. Support for WSLR comes from listeners like you and from Manatee Spirit Holistic Sound Studio, offering sound-based wellness experiences in Bradenton. More information is available at 941-209-0069 or info@manateespirit.com. Good morning, everyone. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, local acupuncture physician, and I am your host. A huge thank you to our soundboard operator Neil Rubido of this morning's Melody Matrix, every morning 7 to 9 on your drive to work. Our goal here is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, nor volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here on the Healthy Living Hour is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back here. We are live in Studio One here at WSLR. And today's guests drove from St. Pete, and they braved the traffic and got here in time. And I think they were kind of questioning it on the way. But anyway, today I have a colleague of mine, Dr. Mark Brinson, and his wife, Kara Brinson, who's a nurse in St. Pete, I believe. Thank you for being here. Mark, I'll just call you Mark if that's okay.
Absolutely.
You have a really unique background, chiropractic, osteopath, and then in Chinese medicine. And today I just want to say we're going to talk about peptides, hormones, anti-aging with a focus and emphasis on peptides. Mark and Kara, your experience with them. This is something I know very little about, so I'd like to say I think we're all going to learn together out there. I'm going to learn with you. And so, Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself, and you too, Kara, if you would, your background, how you got to this.
Yeah, sure. I've been treating patients probably for 35 years, believe it or not. Started as a trainer specializing in rehab, then a massage therapist in rehab and physical therapist, then went through a ton of internships in osteopathy and chiropractic, finally landing on Doctor of Oriental Medicine, which is a good way to encompass everything that you do, especially in the state of Florida. And from there, I've had set up many clinics in the past. I recently sold mine because my other venture, manufacturing venture, has taken me away from that. I'm pretty busy. And my wife is a big part of that business, too. She's the CFO. It's a family business. We have many family members working there.
And so you're talking about Evil Bone Water.
Yes, that's the topical that we make.
Yeah. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about that. It's pretty much global.
We're in over 3,000 clinics. We are international. We grow at 35 to 40% a year every year, and we do everything in-house. We get the finest quality herbs that we can possibly find that are available on the market at the time in Asia. Drinkable alcohol, Everclear, and that's it, and water. So 11 ingredients, and it's made it something really special. It's made it something that's way more than it was supposed to be originally.
Yeah, and to me, it's Evil Bone Water is a professional-grade formulation of an old, almost ancient martial arts formula, like topical.
It's in the classification of what they call Ditta Jiaos, but this very specific one is over 300 years old, and you can trace the lineage of it, and that's all that I did. There's a commercial version that got really watered down, and so I decided to trace it all the way back to the original version, and then there were a lot of little quirky named, like local plants and things like that, that I wasn't going to be able to find. But every one that I was able to find, even the rare or more expensive ones, I just returned them all back in. Mm-hmm. And of course, the magic is the proportions. And in any formula that anybody out there goes to buy, it's not necessarily what's in it as when it comes to herbs. It's the proportions of things. That's where the magic is. That's our secret.
That's your secret sauce. So yeah. Yeah. And just to tell everybody out there, Evil Bone Water, it can be found, you know, in clinics.
Yeah. Acupuncture clinics. There's a where to buy map on the website where you can find a clinic near you. There's also some online retailers, but to get a potential discount, I would try to go to your local acupuncture physician to buy it.
Right. And to just tell people what this Evil Bone Water is, it's got this really interesting, intriguing name. And it's a topical for, you know, I kind of call it like a trauma liniment, something you put on if you get a sprain or a strain or any type of pain.
Sprains, it's a big strains. People use it for infection, for sunburn, for all sorts of things. Yeah. And that's because of some of the more rare herbs that we returned. It took on kind of like medicine cabinet.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us, I know I refer to it as almost Chinese Windex, like from that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Same.
The guy with Windex. Yeah, so it's great stuff. But anyway, we're going to talk about your journey. You shared with me that over the past 3 years, you've been really investigating and doing a deeper dive into this newer peptides.
Yeah, sure. So my own little disclaimer here is I am not a peptide expert. I don't offer any classes on peptides. I can't help you figure out your dosages and things like that. But I'm very, very knowledgeable about the overview of them, how they work, and how they can potentially help people. So what happened is probably 4 or 5 years ago, you think? You know, I'm getting a little older. So I've also at the time was trying to run two businesses at once. So I had a clinic and then I had this freight train of a business, manufacturing business that was starting. Not to mention my clinic is 5 hours away from where I live. So every other week, initially I was driving every week to go back to clinic during the week. And then I was home on the weekends. And then Evil Bone Water made it so I could go to every other week. And now that it's sold, well, but anyway, the point being is I didn't have enough juice in the tank. And so what we did, and Kara's really a large driving force behind a lot of this. And it's funny because a lot of nurses that I've known do so many natural things and don't take many medications.
That's great.
I guess you see it. So what we did probably more like 5 years ago is we started trying to dipping into some nutritional, not nutritional stuff, but like nutraceuticals, supplements and things like that that could help with, you know, I hate the term anti-aging because it gets kind of a bad rap. I look at it more as just helping you recover better. Helping recovery, regrowth, growth, and repair. So everything from trying to find some stuff to tweak sleep a little bit to get that optimized, to get digestion optimized, and eventually to boost testosterone levels, things like that. And so we did a pretty good dive into all that for several years.
Great. And I just want to make a little notice again. If you're just tuning in, we are live in studio, in the studio here at WSLR. And if you'd like to call in and ask Mark or Kara anything about peptides today, that number is 941-954-8636. Again, it's 941-954-8636. And we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, so Mark, so peptides, what are they? Can you?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened along this journey was we were looking for all sorts of things, and all of a sudden there started to be this talk online of peptides or research peptides, because technically they initially weren't meant for human use, but everybody was using them for human. And what it is, it's just an amino acid string, but it's a very short amino acid string. So it's like not a fully developed amino. The best way to describe them is really, really simple. They're triggers. The dosage is really, really small, but they just trigger the body to do something. Like, for instance, these days, everybody knows about semaglutide and Ozempic and things like that. We'll circle back to that, but semaglutide is essentially just a peptide. Ozempic is a little bit different. It's got some other things in it. But the first triggers that they were really looking at that were intriguing would trigger your body to produce more growth hormone. So not like you're adding it exogenously. It's not going to make you huge or a bodybuilder or anything like that. But growth hormone really is kind of like one of the miracle hormones. It is what a lot of the signs of aging are. Ipamorlin, sermorlin, those were a few of the first. And those have even made it into the formulary in compound pharmacies and things like that now. They're pretty well respected and pretty safe. And then they also had some that would trigger growth hormone release. So you might do that in the evening time. Not enough to just produce it, but then to release it. So those are the first ones that we kind of dipped into. Now, I had to do this with a lot of help from Kara because I'm a needle phobe. I could potentially pass out if I get blood taken. But initially, the peptides required a daily subcutaneous injection, which is a really tiny needle. But she's a pro with that, right? She would help pep talk me and everything into doing that. But we did. We did a couple different series of, say, for instance, 8-week trials. And it's not like people would think. It's not like a performance-enhancing drug, or it's not like you're adding it exogenously. It's like this gentle ramp up. So you notice that your skin is doing a little better. Your nails are doing a little better. I noticed that there were some issues that I had, like with my back. From old infantry stuff that kind of just weren't bothering me. But then there were some obvious things too. The one that surprised me as I thought about it, and I used to get a little bit of bleeding with brushing my teeth. Mm. That completely went away and my teeth tightened up. So basically gum health just significantly improved. And so, I don't know. How did you feel about them?
It helps with the muscle recovery, things from working out.
Okay. Quicker recovery.
Any injuries or not hurting yourself as much, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Like you feel a little more hardy, you know? And so, but at the end of the day, so we did that two different times with similar results, you know, noticeable, but nothing crazy. But there was a little bit of an expense involved and the daily injection. And so that never made it. That never crossed into what I would consider patient care because, like, the bang for the buck, you know. Now, what's happened that's really cool recently is we found out, like, things like Ipamorlin you can do nasally as well. Mm-hmm. They used to say, no, it doesn't work nasally. But it turns out it does about 35% nasally. So if you triple the dose, and I've figured out some ways where I can get it a whole lot cheaper. So nasally, it does work quite well. So anyway, we did that, and the next one that we ended up trying was something that I do recommend to people that was pretty cool. There's a BPC-157 and TB-500. It's a nasal combo, the first nasal combo that came out, because they are totally nasally available, and they're actually produced in very small amounts in the digestive system. So what these guys trigger that's really cool is the opening up of growth hormone receptors in your tissues. So what a lot of people don't know is when you try to heal something, when the body tries to heal something, say, for instance, it's going to take me 12 weeks to heal this ligament that got overstretched or whatever it happened to be. If it doesn't heal it in the allotted amount of time that it was supposed to, it just kind of turns it off. It's like, I don't need to waste resources on this anymore. I'm going to just try to work around it. And that's what your body does. It just facilitates around it. So things like acupuncture or cupping or even manual therapy and whatnot, they're kind of waking that area back up and saying, hey, take another look at me. You know, we don't heal anybody. We're getting that body to heal itself. So you got all those resources available to you. But then all of a sudden, now you've got something that actually opens up the growth hormone receptors too. Now, this was pretty neat. From all the years of stuff that I've done, I've got a knee that nags me every once in a while. You know, I've got bad discs in my back, which I haven't had problems in quite some time with, and it could be due to that. Shoulder that bothers me every once in a while, things like that. The first time that I did the BPC-157 and the TB-500, within like a week and a half, all of a sudden I just kind of wasn't feeling those things. It's not like I woke up one morning and it was gone, but it was like, wait a second, I'm not noticing either of these things anymore. And so I continued to take it for about 6 weeks. And what happened is the first time, it took about 3 months for any of those symptoms to start to return, right? So I did it again, same exact results, but then it took like 6 months or longer. Mm. Did it again, same results. It took like 12 months. So that was enough for me to go, yeah, this really works.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes people are locally injecting that these days, but I'm not sure that I like that as much. I'd rather let my body go and figure out what it needs to do with it than try to force it to do something, because it's more of like a subtle thing. It's not like you're putting lidocaine or something like that into the body.
Right.
So from a pharmaceutical point of view, someone taking meloxicam might be interested in what you have to offer.
Yeah, you know, I would say that anything that kind of needs to heal, you've got something that's nagging that's just not healing right, especially as we get a little bit older, we just don't produce as much growth hormone. And then when we do, your body kind of partitions what it uses it for.
Gotcha.
Which the one that I'm now liking the most is nasal apomorlin along with BPC-157. Because those two together, you produce a little more growth hormone, but then it opens up the receptors, so you got something to do with it. And, yeah, it's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah. Mark, can we back this up just a bit, and can you tell people, so these are amino acids, and I think they're derived from plants, mostly?
Sure, yes.
And so these are building blocks of protein, mm-hmm. you know, and so everybody's out there, oh, I need more protein. We need protein for different, you know, things in the body. Can you give us a rundown on why one would want to upregulate or optimize growth hormone? What is that for? What does that do?
So, I mean, it's everything from bone density to the quality of your skin, the quality of your fascia. You know, as we age, the skin changes a little bit. But it's basically one of the things that makes your body repair itself. Let me see. And being able to direct when it's released. So the triggers that let you release it, like, say, for instance, that if you take that in the evening, can really help as well, because overnight is when you have the biggest releases of growth hormone. That's when your body is doing all the things that it needs to do with it.
Yeah, and then let's talk about if we can go in. Oh, and I just want to say, again, our studio lines are open. If anybody would like to call in, that number is 941-954-8636. We'd love to hear from you, or if you've been utilizing these research peptides in your own experience, we'd love to hear that too. Now, they do come with, you mentioned this a little bit, but they come with a black box warning. Can you talk about that?
Well, so they don't come with a black box warning, but okay. But the hormones do. And we can talk about that in a minute. And that is something that used to come with a black box warning. It's just been removed.
Oh.
But the peptides, no, they seem to be very little, if any, negatives that I've heard with them. Because, again, you're just triggering your own body to do something, and it's not in some massive way. So even though they're research and let's be honest, one of the reasons that they are a research category is because there's nothing that the drug companies can really do with them. It's just there's nothing to patent. It's just a simple amino acid string.
Yes.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, so simple amino acid string. Now, so we're in the midst of doing all this research with our friends, our family, people from, you know, everybody that we test a lot of things, and not many of them make it into patient care. But it really surprised me when all of a sudden Ozempic came out and they said it was semaglutide. And I'm like, wait a second, how are they going to do this? What can they patent? Now, it turns out they put a bunch of other stuff in there. And so I'm like, well, this can't be the same as just plain semaglutide. It can't behave the same. It turns out it doesn't. Yeah, it turns out that if you use just semaglutide, you end up having very few, if any, negative effects from it. You don't have to step up the dose as much. You still can have some slight side effects from it, but basically it just hyperstabilizes blood sugar.
Excellent. And we have a caller. So thank you, caller. You are live on the air. Can you please tell us your name and where you're calling from, please? Hello?
Caller, can you hear us?
I can hear you now, yes.
Thank you. Yes, can you tell us your name, your first name, and where you're calling from, please?
Apparently she's not hearing that microphone. Could you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, Joanne, Sarasota.
Joanne, thank you so much for calling in. You have a question or a comment for Mark and Kara?
Yes, please. I have a sports injury. I have a torn rotator cuff. It's my dominant arm. It's my right. And this has been the fourth month. And the progress, the treatment I've had, it's been slow and tedious, but these things take time to heal. On the other hand, the treatment has been conservative, physical therapy, cortisone shot, rest in ice and heat. But what can be done about this? The pain at night is excruciating. So sleep deprived on top of everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the things you do have to remember is that the rotator cuff rehab is tedious, and it does take a while. It's a real pain. But from the realm of peptides, something like Ipamorlin could definitely help. How old are you now?
I'm a senior citizen.
Okay, that's all I need to know. But yeah, basically anybody over the age of probably 40 can benefit, but the older you are, the more that you can benefit from a little bit of added growth hormone production. You do have to remember that you have to kind of have the diet to support that a little bit. So whenever I recommend these things, I make sure that the people are trying to get in enough protein each day and eat right. But also for the shoulder, topicals can help quite a bit. There's all sorts of good topicals out there. But I like them a lot of times more than something that you would take internally just because they're actually directing attention to that area to heal it instead of giving you some blanket help.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say I have been using whatever the brand name is for BioFreeze. I've been using that. To an extent, it's helping, of course, temporarily.
Yeah, BioFreeze is, way back when I was a physical therapist is when BioFreeze first came out, and it was one of the first formulas on the market with Chinese herbs in it. It actually has the herb Ilex. Now, the Chinese name is going to escape me for some reason. Normally, it's the other way around. I can't remember the American name. But, yeah, BioFreeze is a very, very solid topical for sure.
Okay.
And hang in there. You know, it's one of those things that it's going to get frustrating for you a little bit, but it'll get better.
Yes. And how do you spell that again, that ingredient, please?
Ilex. I-L-E-X. That's the... that is the Chinese herb that's in BioFreeze. Now, they have, I believe they got sold to somebody, they have changed the formula a little bit, but it is still in there. I looked the other day. Ilex actually grows naturally down here. It's kind of a bush, but yeah, it grows in the wild down here. It's in a lot of parks and things like that.
Okay, well, my advice, as you said, it's to hang in there, and I'm doing, again, the conservative treatment at this point. Hopefully no surgery, which we'll just wait and see on that one.
And, you know, whatever health professionals you're working for, it may be worth asking if they could add a little bit of, like, BPC-157. That's the one that triggers.
And again,
BPC. 157 and or TB500. So BPC 157 and TB500, those are the ones that open up growth hormone receptors in the tissues and actually help kind of drive healing to the parts that need it the most. So it could speed things along. That's probably what I would recommend in my clinic if it was there.
Okay. Well, I'll take the information.
Pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling in. Yes, yeah, so thank you. And that's what I love about this radio program here at our little community radio station, which is just really growing. And that's exciting, too. But, you know, it's all about giving the patient population, information, things to think about. Maybe there's another way, a different way, apart from pharmaceuticals and surgical interventions before going to those.
Well, and with her specifically, her type of thing specifically, I always look at how can we get the person better? And how can we do it the quickest but most permanent way? So when you're talking about peptides, or you're talking about herbs, or you're talking about topicals, things like that, are they going to fix it on their own? Maybe, maybe not. But would they absolutely speed things up and make it a better repair or a better outcome? Absolutely.
Great. And again, we are here for about another 30 minutes. So if anybody else has a question, that studio line is 941-954-8636. 941-954-8636. And, you know, if you're just joining us, you are listening to the Healthy Living Hour right here on WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV 100.1 FM in Bradenton. We're talking with Mark and Kara Brinson, who drove here from St. Pete to be with us today to talk about peptides, this use of the newer interventions of peptides, and also some hormone stuff. And Mark, I just want to say there was an article that just came out a couple of days ago on using peptides. They're researching it heavily for, like, I think post-stroke and spinal cord injuries. A lot of research is emerging on this and its usefulness.
What's happened too is since we first started, Kara and I first started on the journey of studying them and practicing, well, doing all kinds of experiments with people, et cetera, it's really exploded. They've been there for a long time, but as I mentioned, the drug companies kind of abandoned them because they're relatively cheap and they don't really have anything to patent. It's just an amino. But now they've got peptides that trigger all sorts of things. There's even some crazy ones that trigger you to produce more melanin, so your skin actually gets a little darker.
Oh, no,
there's
kidding.
Ones that, all sorts of things. Or like semaglutide that hyperstabilizes blood sugar. So it's really, really grown in that amount of time. People are examining them more and more, especially because it's bridged that gap from the fringe, like I said, into the compound pharmacies. So that's kind of one of my litmus tests too. You know, if people are out there, I'm not somebody that's going to jump on something new very quickly. But when I see that something like that has made the jump into a compounding pharmacy, I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good sign that it's got some real mainstream legitimacy. So the other place where you can kind of see these is in almost like the human performance or the anti-aging type clinics. I used to hate those, just by the way, because as little as 5 or 10 years ago, you know, I'd get a patient that would come in that's like 60 years old and just jacked. I mean, just all kinds of muscle, high blood pressure, because they go into these places and the doc would put them, you know, just put his testosterone through the roof. Mm-hmm. It was just a big shotgun approach. And unfortunately, it was kind of the same with women as well, because of the black box warnings that were on testosterone and other hormones. Physicians were really kind of hesitant to prescribe true hormone replacement therapy. What they would be much more likely to do is give the woman an IUD that had hormones in it, or to give you birth control pills. So perimenopausal symptoms, things like that. Oh yeah, we can just handle it with this. And it's not that they didn't really want to do more, but the black box warnings basically, in the eyes of a physician or a medical facility, say, hey, we can sustain serious liability if we use these things and somebody has a problem with it. So it turns out, the Department of Health, or RFK, just announced that they were removing the black box warnings from those, because everybody that's works with hormones on a higher level, we all know that they're not causing anything bad. They're only causing an improvement in people's lives. But it turns out that there was never any science behind the black box warnings anyway. They got together when they were putting these things on the market and they were like, well, it could possibly cause cancer, or it could possibly do this. So let's just put a warning on it because we don't know. Turns out that wasn't the case. So I think it's pretty exciting, because what you're going to start to see is hormone replacement that's being done with a very delicate touch, and even in conjunction with peptides as well, you know, giving people what they're truly looking for. And that's kind of when we were on the journey of this, that's what we were looking for. We initially started with a human performance place, but it wasn't as refined. But yeah, who you go to is very important for these things. But I'm really excited, and I hope that now that the warnings have been removed, other physicians are going to start to say, hey, well, let's really look at this. Let's get this tweaked. Let's look at your thyroid. Let's look at all the things instead of just giving a woman birth control pills or just giving a man testosterone.
Yeah. I've noticed, you've probably seen this too in the past. I mean, I've been in practice, I'm on year 16 now, but women who are getting, you know, the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, And, you know, some women are given testosterone, and then they almost start to get male pattern baldness. And, you know, really, they're, I mean, I've seen this in not everybody, but in small. So there's something inside where maybe they can't detox out some of those overages of what's really necessary. I don't know the mechanism, but I like this way, like you say, it's very subtle, it's quiet, it's just stimulating, like almost like a messenger chemical.
Yeah. And so what you're seeing clinically when you see people like that is you're seeing what I consider kind of improper hormone replacement, mm-hmm. Which I kind of went through as well. and there's a supplement, I can't think of the name of it either, but there's a supplement called DIM. The proper dosage of DIM with doing hormone replacement is so vital that it's not even funny. And that's what helps for the detoxification process, et cetera. Right. But yeah, I guess I can just go ahead and tell you, what I went through, because men never talk about this.
Yeah,
I mean, men,
please.
Men and hormone replacement, it's like a big, just a no, you know? So, with the help of Kara, you know, we went through supplements that we were trying, and we were kind of tweaking those and getting them right. And, then we both, had experimented again with, some of the peptides. Good results, but still, I was still having some problems. So, problems being, not sexual dysfunction or anything like that that people would normally consider, oh, the man's on hormone replacement, it's sexual dysfunction. But with what I was doing, I was working out 5 days a week, running two businesses, driving back and forth all the time. I would just get main symptom, crushing fatigue in the afternoon, right? Like have to take a nap almost. I would have a poor appetite. My sleep was poor, and I was sore all the time. You know, it was just like, and I focus, you know, but it was just these symptoms that I just could not keep up with it. So in the year that we tried to do everything naturally, we tried the herbs, we tried, ashwagandha, all the things that you could do right. I found that I could actually combat that pretty decently, but not and keep the level of activity that I was doing. So if I cut out the gym a couple of days a week, if I did take a nap, if I did try to eat more, it was a big production to be able to do that. And so that's when we started to go more towards actually looking into hormone replacement. So I first initially started out being a needle phobe. I didn't want to inject myself twice a week with testosterone. And I also told them very clearly, it was at a performance place. I said, I don't want to be high. You know what I mean? I want to be a little above medium. You know what I mean? I do not want to be running around like I was when I was 25 years old. Nobody wants that. and it's something that also you don't really expect to have any like muscle mass changes and things like that. So the first thing that I went through was under the tongue. They call it a troche. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard about it, they were going to do that with me. I was like, well, okay. I didn't really know that testosterone was that absorbable that way. Turns out it's really not. I went through a year of that, and it did help, but there's a whole lot of peaks and valleys. You know what I mean? And it helped a bit. It helped with the fatigue, and it helped with the hunger a bit, but it wasn't quite right. So I decided, eventually that I was going to go ahead and try to do the bioidentical, from somebody that was known in the area to be really good. It was a gynecologist. So my wife hooked me up with her gynecologist. I had a gynecologist for a year.
That's awesome, Kara. I'll remember this one.
Yeah. She's like, oh no, we work with men too. And I was like, oh great. So yeah. Oh, I had a bad blood draw there one time too, where I almost passed out. I'm just sitting there going, don't let me pass out in front of the gynecologist. Don't let me pass out in front of the gynecologist. but anyway, that did all of a sudden change things, but it just, you know, it wasn't quite dialed in. And eventually we got to some place where it was, and the key was the DIM. So I'm doing the pellets, right? Mm-hmm. My testosterone levels would go up to around 900. I track all of my metrics all the time. So I wasn't getting any like changes in body fat that were crazy. No changes in muscle mass. Same as I always do, you know, maintenance type workouts. But the fatigue was gone, except on days when I really, really pushed too hard. The appetite was back. And basically just being able to function day to day and do all the things that I needed to do. But the final key to that was DIM. Mm. And so these things, when they're doing it right, they're giving you very regular blood tests. They're looking at all the things. They're not just, they're looking at your vitamin levels, looking at your hormone levels, your glutathione levels. They're really doing it scientifically. And when I look in retrospect, I just wasted time with the first place because they probably did just want to throw testosterone at me. You know what I mean? That's the kind of people that were going there. They do a lot of peptides, a lot of performance enhancing type stuff. And so when I didn't want all that, it was just, it wasn't a waste of a year because it did get me to know how my body responds to it. But I guess that's what I would recommend with people if they go into this is you really have to get somebody that can help you dial it in. And one of the things about, Chinese medicine in particular, it can make that journey so much quicker. So with my patients that I've recommended that to, every time when they come back, life-changing. But I always tell them, I'm like, first, let's get you as balanced as we can with Chinese medicine first. Because otherwise, they're going to go in and get a blood test. And of course, their blood test is going to be all jacked up. Everything's going to be off. But if you get them as balanced as you can with Chinese medicine, either it's going to solve the problem or they're going to go get that blood test, and there's just going to be a little bit of tweaking that needs to be done. And that's what I think is ideal, helping the person with treatment through the journey.
Yeah, and I think, like you say, when you can balance that body better, then when they get a blood test, you're really seeing the true, actual, almost root issues.
Right.
Metabolically, yeah. What's going on, rather than you get a blood test, you know you're inflamed, or we're all really inflamed, you know, yeah. Of course those markers are going to be jacked
well,
all over the place.
Yeah, to use my medical terms. Yeah. And one of the things that I recommend to people, like my patients that I've had for a long time that are healthy, I see a lot of patients in clinic. The 3 days that I go back now, I go back every 3 to 5 weeks to still see patients, but in 3 days I see like 50 people. It's pain man, it's not pain management. It's a lot of family medicine, multiple generations of families. So, even when I get people where most of my patients, we get them to a point where they're doing pretty good. They come in for some maintenance, this happens, that happens, but they're doing pretty decently. I usually encourage them to get a blood test once a year, and I even try to do that myself regardless. Now I have to do it a little bit more, obviously, with hormone replacement. But you should have a blood test done when you feel good.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
How do you know if that's not normal for you? You know what I mean? Like maybe you have a high this or a low that, but when you're feeling good, if you have that, at the same time, that might just be normal for you because blood tests are really just kind of a guideline. You know, people function outside of those normal limits all the time and are having no problems. So, yeah.
Yeah, and in talking on the hormone replacement therapy and then the peptides, are there any specific peptides that you found to really help with the hormone balancing? Hormone production as we age?
I'm cycling through the Semorlin right now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the pellets, and then so that's 3 months on and then 3 months off, and, you know, you can go back and forth. And that, I like that. I like that combo. That works for me. Makes me feel good. Like,
good.
Less inflammation, less just, you just feel good. Like, it's not something crazy that you can tell the how you feel overall in general, just a better feeling.
I feel the same way about a good multivitamin too, or multivitamin packet or something. It's like, you might not know it while you're taking it, but if you miss it for a week, then you realize, oh yeah.
Yeah. I hear that a lot
in
my practice as well. You know, you recommend something and, you know, we kind of say, hey, it only works if you take it. And then they're like, oh, I've been off it, or it's been out of stock for a while. And wow, I really notice it.
Well, and it's easy for that to happen too, because, you're feeling good. So you're like, why do I need to continue with this routine? And I do believe that everybody should have a very small base routine of what they do, like maybe a multi and maybe whatever herb is for their specific issue, but then kind of branch off from that. But she did, Kara did bring up a really good point. I really like with peptides, the cycling in and out of them. So I feel like they've done a lot of their work after like 2 or 3 months. Well, excuse me, I like about 6 to 8 weeks. So they've done a lot of their work, and you don't want to get to your body too used to them or too dependent on them. So I think when you go off of them, it gives your body kind of a reset. So then when you go back to it, same dose is fine. You don't have to increase anything. I think with a lot of things, you can get kind of diminishing results if your body just becomes mm-hmm. way too used to it. And it's the same thing that the way that I do Chinese herbs. You know, I tell people, look, you're not going to be on this forever. You're going to be on this until they're adaptogenic. So you're going to be on this until your body creates the pattern that it's trying to. And then you can go ahead and get off of them. And then once they're balanced and they're good like that, then sometimes I'll, depending on their constitution, their age, there might be some things that I suggest that they add into their diet or into their supplement routine because it could help to prevent it from happening in the future. Say, for instance, blood tonics or qi tonics, things like that.
Right, right. And you're talking about cycling the peptides. Can you go over that a little bit more? You said something about, so you kind of go, you're on for 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, I like it like that so that okay. you can have, and you know, also with things like, say, for instance, that you were, it's something extra. You know, it's not part of your core health routine that you're doing. So it's something extra. I'm a really big fan of, it's like, say, for instance, it's injections or whatnot, of having in your mind a beginning, middle, and end. Because like you said, the herbs only work if you take them, right? And so if you're just having this person take something in perpetua, they may or may not stick with it. You know what I mean? But if you're like, look, this is the period of time that you're doing it, they can see the benefits in that enough amount of time. That brings up another good point too. With almost anything, I feel like there are some exceptions to this, but if you're trying something new and it's been 2 to 4 weeks and you're really not seeing or feeling that much, you're probably not really going to see or feel that much. You know, you should start getting some benefit, feeling something after a few weeks of using most things if they're a good bang for the buck type thing. But yeah, like six or eight week increments, I think, are really great.
Or you can use them like the BPC-157. You have a surgery coming up. You're having something done. It can promote healing. So you're going to take it during that time just for your recovery time, not something you're taking all the time or mm-hmm. but for a specific thing that is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, or that knee starts nagging me again. So that's normally when I head back to the BPC-157 or whatnot, or TP-500, is because all of a sudden, you know, this little catch that I have is back. And like I said, it seems like it takes longer and longer to come back, and it's at lesser and lesser when it does. But it's the same thing. Fresh injury, sure. Surgery, sure. It's just like turbocharging the whole thing.
Great. Yeah, great. I want to learn more about this. Definitely. This is a fascinating topic. It's becoming pretty popular. You know, it's just getting a lot more recognition recently.
Well, I think in it working with the body instead of like on the body, mm-hmm. I think is why it's so, kind of important. I kind of think it's the future of medicine, to be honest with you.
Like, yeah, it is, especially, it seems to be all natural. Like, yeah. There's no chemical component that I
it is just
could
a,
find.
It's a simple amino acid, very short amino acid string. It's like, it's almost like it's the building blocks of regular aminos.
Right.
So yeah, it's just a little trigger.
That's great. And so some of these ones you're cycling on and off, but I think you indicated you might not notice or feel something earth shattering right away.
Yeah.
It's subtle. It takes time.
Well, yeah, yes and no, because, you know, all of a sudden when you've got a few injuries that you've had for months that go away in a couple of weeks, you're kind of like, huh. But it's not like, bam, I took it in the next day.
Right, right. And we have another caller. Caller, you are live on the air. Can you please, thank you for calling in, and can you tell us your first name and where you're calling from, please?
Hi, my name is Meg, and I'm calling from Sarasota.
Great, Meg. You have a question for Mark?
Yeah, about the peptides. Is this include collagen peptides?
So that's a little different. So when you talk about research peptides, which is what I'm kind of referring to, these are very, very small doses. And think of research peptides, they're very short strings. So think of them almost as the building blocks for other amino acids or for other peptides. So
collagen peptides are very good. Very good to use hair, skin, nails, all sorts of things can benefit from that. But it's a much more complex product. This is like basically the building blocks of proteins, actually the building blocks of the amino acids that make up proteins. So very, very minute amounts you take. Like the dose for the nasal dose for a 6 week 6 weeks use or something like that is like 10 milligrams. It is really, really tiny. So each day you're just using a fraction, a very small fraction of a milligram.
Do the collagen peptides, do they actually help with arthritis?
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I'm not going to say no. Because basically, you know, when you take something like that, it's not getting your body to do something. It's giving your body what it needs to produce the things that will help you heal, the things that will help with growth and repair. So it wouldn't necessarily be my first choice for arthritis, but I'm not going to say no, because it could definitely contribute to it.
And then are you going to give out your contact information?
Sure, we'll give that at the end. I don't treat in Florida, though. My other company is so busy that it's kind of a full-time venture now. We've got a big warehouse in St. Petersburg.
Oh, okay. And that's where you have all your products?
Well, we just make one thing. We just make Evo Bone Water, which is the topical liniment. But I'm just here to kind of spread some information about some things that we're using.
Oh, okay.
Oh, now I'll tell you what you could do, though. If you want to find somebody locally, you can always, you can find somebody that's interested in more performance-based things. So if you see somebody that does hormone replacement, you might notice that they use peptides, they might use lasers, things like that. Acupuncture physicians' offices are normally a good place to start, because a lot of times if they don't do it there, they often know. Like of somebody that does. EvoBoneWater.com, there's a where to buy map, and you can put in your zip code and you can see acupuncture physicians all over the place near you.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Meg, thanks for calling in. Oh, great, Mark. Wow, this is a hot topic this morning.
Right.
We're getting a little low on time, about maybe six more minutes. Is there anything left to share that you think are points we haven't gone over that people you would really like to...
Actually, one last thing not last thing, but Kara, did you want to expand upon the collagen a little bit more? Because, well, I know that you're a fan. I see it in your cabinet.
I'm with you. I don't really know if it works or not, but I use it.
Great hair, skin, and nails. I'm sure that's probably part of it. But yeah, I guess, you know, for women and for men, if you're ever considering a hormone replacement, it's something, if you go to the right person, it can be just completely life-changing, but it needs to be a good place. And especially, if I could leave with anything, like for men, take the stigma out of it. You know, this isn't about, I mean, sexual dysfunction can be one of the signs of low testosterone, but I think what they'll probably start doing is changing what low is, because they used to say that if you're under, a doctor wouldn't even touch you because of the black box warnings, unless you were like 200 or less. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to change that now, because at 300 or 400 testosterone available, you're going to be functioning, you're going to feel fine, but you're not really going to feel that good. You know what I mean? When I talked to them about mine, I was like, yeah, I just kind of want to feel like I did when I was 35. You know, I want to be able to accomplish the same things. I want to be able to not suffer from my workouts for days. And so that's it. It's a lot of things that people don't normally think about. I mean, I didn't think about it. Who would have thought that it's just really bad afternoon fatigue, or that it's lack of appetite, or it's my sleep's not great, or it's that I'm sore all the time? I mean, But I had mine tested, and it was pretty low at the time. I was burning the candle at both ends. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. I feel like it's going to become a lot more accepted. I feel like they're going to start sprinkling peptides into the mix, really looking at things from a much more holistic standpoint than it has ever been done before.
Yeah, and in finding a provider to work with on these for our patient population, is there a certain like class coursework or certification or anything that they might want to be mindful of? I know I'm putting you on the spot on this.
Well, I do like places, like if I were just out there looking for some place, I do like places that lean towards bioidentical hormones. Those are normally places where you can find peptides too. And I say bioidentical. So here's the thing. What people will argue is they'll say, well, they're all bioidentical, you know, because they're synthetic and synthetic. But it's not really the case. Some of the ones that are supposedly natural, your body views just a little bit differently. So the better ones they'll view as your own testosterone that's coming into the body or your own hormones that are coming into the body. So yeah, when you get people like that, that's what I would recommend. Maybe starting with bioidentical place first.
Great. And we have another caller on the air. So while we're getting that ready, could you give us, if people want to find more information or want to find you,
sure.
How do you recommend they do that? You have a website?
www.evilbonewater.com. And I know it's a funny name. It's Saint Apothecary, which is, it's actually Rectify or Vanquish Evil Bone Water is the full name. But, the funny catchy name came from a nickname. But anyway, evilbonewater.com, it's got all of our information on there. You can see our media page, where we are in the world, what we're doing. And like I said, we only make the one product. That's it.
Oh, great. And I'm waiting to see if we have a call here. Nope. Yeah, well, thank you for that. And yeah. I'm just going to ask and put you on the spot as we wrap this up, if I may. Do you have any favorite health tips for those listening out there? Like, what, you know, kind of, for me, it's like the things we are always telling our patients, you know, and we sound like a broken record. And you too, Kara, if you have something that.
Yes, she'll probably definitely have something.
If you have
she's
any.
Got some favorites. Yeah, I feel like definitely stay hydrated. So 2 to 4 quarts of water.
That's fine. Hydration and electrolytes.
We always have like at least 2 drinks on every table. We always have at least 2 drinks on every table everywhere we go when we drive in the car. And I also feel like making sure you've got adequate protein intake. I feel like we're all kind of deficient in that. It's kind of hard to do. And the other is a good base of like a multi. And then do all the other things that you want. But you've got some favorites too. I know.
You took mine.
Well, you're a big fan of apple cider vinegar, too.
I am. Apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Tastes terrible, but...
Yeah, but it mimics hydrochloric acid, helps with digestion.
I take it if he gets sick, and I keep it, take that, and some oil of oregano oil I put in there, too. I do a lot of weird stuff.
It's all good.
And just a shot every day. Yes. Keeps the cooties away. That's what I say.
Well, thank you. Thank you both for being here and driving all that way in that traffic. Really appreciate it and hope to have you back again. And maybe we can do a deeper dive on this.
Yeah,
sure.
And, I've been doing this for so long. I've got all kinds of stuff stored in my brain.
We know you do. And you're all over social media and you're kind of the comic of our profession in a way. And so thanks again for tuning in to the Healthy Living Hour. And join here next Tuesday and you can hear the environmental program, Jono and Julie, on our changing environment. And everybody, please take good care out there. Stay safe. And in the meantime, please stay tuned for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!